It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, friends, it's so great to be with you again, to visit and share each week from the Word of God on a very important subject. And today's topic, well, I don't know of anything that is more vital and necessary. And in fact, it's been necessary and vital since the beginning of time. You see, because God foresaw that His Son would die on the cross for our sins. And so today we're going to be talking about a subject that I think you're going to enjoy because it gets right down to the heart of the gospel. We're going to start a new series entitled, The Power of the Blood. The Power of the Blood. You know, a lot of people realize, at least those that are Christians, that Jesus did shed His blood on the cross for us. But I'm not so sure that every Christian understands the significance of that for our daily lives. You see, that imbues us, empowers us in such a magnificent way that, well, you'll have to listen to this this series because it is life-changing. In fact, I'll have to tell you, even though I've been a Christian since the age of 16, when I was saved at a church in Port Neches, Texas, gave my life to the Lord and was baptized, not since then, I don't think has God fully touched me in such a way as when I began to study and investigate the power of the blood. I've had people say to me, well now, Tex, are you talking about mystical, supernatural power? I say, yes, indeed. They go, well, now, isn't that a little far out? I always like it when people ask, is my Christian faith far out? Well, of course it's far out. Of course, the world doesn't believe these things. They don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus triumphed over the devils. They don't believe that Jesus sits there on the great throne in heaven. The world doesn't believe that He's coming again. And even the women who now, because it's popular to do so as a fashion statement of some kind, who wear the cross around their necks, don't truly believe in the cross. At least most of them don't. Even Madonna wears a cross and crucifix, you know, the reprobate rock popular singer. So, you see, my friends, there is power. Do I believe in the mystical, supernatural power of God? You better believe I do. I've always believed that. How did I get such a strange, unusual belief? Well, I read the Bible, and you can have that same belief if you'll just read the Bible. And everything in there is powerful. The miracles of Jesus, the casting out of devils. Oh, we can do sermons and sermons on the miracles of Jesus, even raising Lazarus from the dead. And the world would say that's not possible. Well, I don't really care what the world says, but I do care what the Bible tells us. And that's true. So I think you're going to really enjoy this, and it will change your life. Surely, and we're going to have three sessions on this, surely in the next three sermons, the next three programs, there will be a few new little wrinkles that you've never thought of. You say, oh my, you know, this is really the milk of the Word. This is fine for new Christians, but, you know, I've been a Christian a while. I get a little bit boring with sermons like, well, listen, you're not going to be bored. It's going to change your life. So you stick with us. I think you're going to enjoy it. Before we begin, I wanted to mention a couple of things to you. And now, I'm not a big believer in the social welfare ministry except even Jesus Christ had the loaves of bread and the fish. Even he fed the multitudes, and then he preached to them. I sort of like that. You know, that used to be the old role of the Salvation Army. I had great respect when I was just a young man for the Salvation Army. I remember going to Beaumont, Texas. It was the nearest city to where I lived. It had about 100,000 population. And back then, you were real safe to go places. And I remember I would take the city bus and go downtown. And they had a little area there by the river, and they had a church. I never forget it. It was called the Church of the Open Door. And you know, it had its doors open 24 hours a day. Right there downtown. There was never any vandalism. Nobody ever broke in and harmed that church. Nowadays, they can't even do that. They have to keep their doors locked in cities. Right across from the Church of the Open Door was the Salvation Army. It was right next to a park. And you know, they would meet over there, and I would hear the music and see what was going on over there. And they were really telling people about Jesus and the blood of the cross. And people were being saved. And Then they had a place over there, like a little shelter, and they were giving out some jackets because it was bitter cold. I remember one time I was there and just bitter cold, and I went over there and I played with some of the poor kids. We played at basketball sort of in a little, because it wasn't much of a basketball game as we were kids, but there in the city park, and I remember that. And it's been one of my greatest shocks and disappointments to see today that the Salvation Army has become almost just a tool and an arm of the federal government and of the United Way. And, you know, they went along with the government to get money from the government and the United Way. They had to agree not to require a man or a woman who is homeless to attend worship service to be fed. They used to say, come on, we'll give you shelter, we'll give you food. All you have to do is listen to a sermon. You say, well, now, Tex, they were bribing those people. Well, call it bribing, call it whatever you want. But we have no obligation except from God to help feed and shelter the needy. But I think it was perfectly acceptable to say, if you want a free handout, what's wrong with hearing about Jesus? And I'm sure some of those men would shuffle in there and say, well, if I have to, I have to. Okay, I'll sit there. I don't want to, but if it helps me to get a nice warm cot and clean sheets and a shower and to get some food, okay, I'll do it. And you know, a lot of them found Jesus Christ. They began to listen to that. Sometimes you go in for the wrong reasons and you come out with the right kind of heart. So these things do happen. And I appreciate it so much, the Salvation Army, but they have changed. Now they will tell you, if you call the Salvation Army, they do not require men to attend sermons and hear about Jesus. In fact, I was in a state of shock about 15 years ago even. I remember visiting a huge Bible-like convention in Los Angeles, California. Greater Los Angeles Sunday School Association, I think it was called. And I saw all of these Salvation Army people in their uniforms. There were men and women. And I knew that they were pastors and counselors and such of the Salvation Army. And I was one of the speakers there. And I talked about the Bible and exposed the New Age movement. And I found that a number of the Salvation Army people in their bright new uniforms came up and began to criticize me after my talk. Come to find out, they didn't even believe in the Bible being inerrant anymore. They also believed that the New World Order was a good thing. It was unbelievable. These people were totally unlike the men and women I had met as a young man in the Salvation Army. Totally changed. And it shows what can happen when that spirit of being lukewarm attacks something that has been so pure and wonderful for so many decades and years. And so we need to pray for the Salvation Army. Now, we need your love gifts and offerings here at Bible Home Church. We have our needs. We have our radio time. And all of the expenses. I wish everything was free, but it's not, my friends. And only Jesus' salvation is free. So we need your help with Bible Home Church. Well, we're going to have a song here first. And we are going to have as much of the sermon as we can today. Probably not very much, but first we're going to have a beautiful song from the Cathedrals, from their faithful album, He Made a Change.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to be examining something that is so powerful, so mighty, that there is nothing on earth or in heaven, anywhere in the universe, that can compare. I'll tell you, I feel so inadequate to talk about this subject, more so than any that I've ever discussed, because I think I feel, well, reverent. That's the only word that I can use. I feel reverent. You see, let me explain something to you. I guess I'm just old-fashioned. Yes, I must admit, I still believe in the sanctity of God. Not too long ago, I was watching a television station, a Christian, so-called Christian station, and a man got on there and he claimed that he had a visit from Jesus. And he said, you know, Jesus came to see me right about Christmas time, and he just walked into my living room, and he was wearing a three-piece suit. And Jesus sat down on the couch beside me, and he told me what he wanted me to do in my ministry this coming year. And Jesus and I had a big chat. Right away, I knew the man was a devil for saying that. It wasn't true. Couldn't be true. You see, Jesus doesn't come to men in three-piece suits. He doesn't sit on your couch and chat with you. I'm not saying that you can't talk to God. You certainly can. In fact, God wants you to do that. He wants to be your friend. Jesus said, I'm your friend. But it was so sacrilegious, the way this man described it, that I had to compare it with the book of Revelation. The Apostle John said that Jesus came to him. Now remember, this is the Apostle that had laid his head on the breast of Jesus, the beloved Apostle John. Here was John, though. Some say that he was approaching the last days of his life, that he was in his late 90s, a very old man, banished to the Isle of Patmos. And God gave him this vision, and Christ Jesus himself came. And let me tell you, when John saw him, John said that when he beheld the Lamb, his feet were like a fiery furnace. His hair was like fine white wool. And John immediately knew this was God. Yes, this was the same Christ Jesus that John had walked those dusty roads toward Jerusalem with. But something was changed in one sense, because this Jesus was so almighty, so powerful, like a consuming fire. John says, I fell at his feet as if dead. You know, friends, when we get in the presence of God, I believe we will fall at his feet as if dead. Doesn't mean he doesn't love us. He does. It means that he is so holy. You know, the Old Testament prophet talked about being called up before God. But when he got up there, he said, I'm undone. I can't speak because I'm unclean. He couldn't even speak in the presence of God. Let me tell you something, my friends. If you're called into God's presence, I don't think you're going to be chatting to a man in a three-piece suit.
You're not going to be discussing the price of tea in China. It's going to be a holy, holy experience.
Please join us next week as Pastor Mars continues his series, The Power of the Blood.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.